Good evening, everyone. Good to see you all this evening. Glad you come our way. It is always encouraging when people of like and precious faith come together to study the Word of God. I wish that others would see the benefits and would come and support us and be a part of that as well. But we know that that's not the case. The building would be full tonight. And buildings everywhere. Romans chapter 2, we're in lesson 2, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32 is what we'll be looking at. I expect we will not get through this tonight because it's a lot of information to cover, and I expect we'll have a fair amount of discussion. Because when you read this, this is a picture of what the world is today. What did the great or the wise man Solomon say in the Old Testament?
Nothing new under the sun.
He's right. There's nothing new under the sun. And because people don't learn from history, it repeats itself. Because we have the formula, we have the information to not do it again, and yet here we are doing it again. And everything runs in cycles. We may just have a better vehicle of doing things than what they did a few hundred years ago, but it's still the same. We still have the same moral decay and the moral ups and downs. As our custom has been, let us read the text over before we begin our discussions. Anyone want to volunteer to read verses 18 to the end of the chapter?
I'll read the half, let you read that.
Well, let me read the first half and you take the second half.
Okay.
Because that's where I'm in my hard work. Okay, here we go. 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was me. Okay, John, you got it.
Okay, verse 28.
Right.
And even as they did not like it to retain God in their minds, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not of me. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, bait, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, invention of evil things, or inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in giving that to them. And I think was 18.
Yes.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because they which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse.
All right, appreciate y'all reading this evening. Thought discussion questions on page number 6 of the lesson book. Question number one is, what is revealed from heaven?
The wrath of God.
What is the wrath of God?
The wrath of God is God's punishment for anybody that's disobedient to him.
It's a satisfaction of his anger.
Yep.
And just think about the anger, the wrath of God. What did that do to Jesus?
Caused him to become the servant, live a life without spot or blemish, be willing to go to the cross, be crucified, raised third day for the redemption of our sins.
Absolutely. That's the wrath of God being satisfied. And something to think about when you think about how just that God is, that it takes that kind of a requirement to deal with our injustice. Or I shouldn't say injustice, but our sin, which is injustice towards God. Question number 2 is, against what is the wrath of God revealed?
Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men.
Yes. What I found interesting about this verse is he mentions, usually when you read about unrighteousness, that's all it says about it. Unrighteousness, this, that, and the other. Notice that it puts in there the unrighteousness of men. There is a specific pointing out there that it is because of man that this unrighteousness is there. It is his fault. It is not someone else that we can blame. It's his participation in it and the lack of righteousness. How does one hold the truth in unrighteousness?
Well, God has showed it to him. Is that it?
Well, how is it being suppressed? How do you hold the truth in unrighteousness? Simply to suppress the truth. In another translation, the ESV, it's actually, this passage is so much easier to understand if you read it in modern English. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their own unrighteousness suppress the truth. That's how you hold it, hold the truth in unrighteousness. You suppress it to where it cannot be spoken. It cannot be talked about. It cannot be used. It cannot be shared. That's what is exactly. We see this going on right now. What's going on with the shooter situation? How come the algorithms couldn't figure out all this about this guy? It was there. Yeah, just like in that shooting of the quote white supremacists that they cherry picked, by the way, because in that shooting that weekend there was like 107 people killed that weekend, the bulk in Chicago, New York, and Los Angeles. Not even talked about, cherry picked it. Anyway, I don't want to go down that road. Or eat up our class time talking about that, but we can later. But what I want to point out is if you list a Christian ideal on some of these social platforms, if you stand up for abortion, you stand up for the rights of the unborn, you stand up against gay marriage, or you want to support someone in their choice to have a monogamous relationship that's right with God, and you don't use the correct words, what will happen to you real quick? They'll ostracize you. They'll suppress the truth. They'll suppress it. And so what I was going to get back to with this shooter and then the one the week before, they were not suppressed. Why? Because they were on their side. That's why they were not suppressed. They were not telling the truth, not supporting the truth. They were supporting that which is evil. And so therefore they were letting it go. But hey, you throw the truth out there, what do? They put a stranglehold on it, usually within 24 hours or less. If you don't believe me, try some of it. Try some of that. Yep.
Set everything and all this, and pretty soon they had to go in and take it down and wait a while before they could bring something else up, and so they would have it on his business.
That, yeah, they're trying to suppress the truth about unrighteousness.
They didn't go with his wishes.
Yeah. Well, you're using logic.
Oh. They're trying to make a point.
Most of the time in those situations, they're trying to make a point. And
create problems for
people. Yes. Suppressing the truth, that's what they do. All right, number three is, what had the Gentiles known? Yeah, and reading the ESV, it says, verse 19, for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. He's shown it to them. He said, this is who I am. When I was reading this and thinking about this passage, I meant to go back and look it up, and I kind of squirrel. But how did God show Job who he was, that he was in control of things? Think about it. How did he do it? He showed him the creation. That's all he done. He showed him the creation. Showed him an earthquake. He showed him who made the Leviathan, the large lizard fish, or whatever, however you want to define that, in the sea, who made it. He pointed out what some call the dinosaur. The big, the one with the cedar for a tail. Who made this large animal? And then he was just kept reasoning with him. Who made this? He pointed out, the parts of creation, the wind. I believe didn't he even point out something to do with the fields? I may be wrong on that particular one, but anyway, it was several things that God showed him that was all part of his creation. What he did not do to Job is he did not say to Job, hey Job, I'm taking care of everything. What he didn't say to Job is tell him what was going on, that the devil is the one doing this, not me. He didn't tell him that. He really didn't give him a whole lot of answer other than showing him, pointing out the things of creation. Pointing out how good that everything is that's part of his creation. And then I thought about that. I said, plus Paul, didn't Paul do a little of this too? When he was at Mars Hill and in Athens, when he was reasoning with them, he used things of nature that show the greatness of God. And also, we've got different characters throughout the Bible that talk about the things that's here screams about God being the creator. Hebrews even talks about he that buildeth a house There must be somebody who planned, right? You can't build a house without a plan. Or build a house without, or you know, a creator. The house didn't just appear, or a builder, rather. The house didn't just appear. And so because of this, this through his creation, he has said, you cannot deny that I exist. There's no way. You have to deny creation itself. You have to deny all the evidence. I assume you know me well enough to know that I like all the science stuff. I really like getting into that. One of the things that, you know, people talk sometimes say, you know, Christian education for like engineering and the sciences is just a waste of time. It's not, by the way, in my opinion. One of the things that we learned when I was studying engineering at Freed-Hardeman, one of the things, it was because the teachers, they pointed out things of creation as we were studying them in science. And so it was actually science, you know, people say science and God don't go together. That's not at all true. Science and God go marry up hand in hand. Someday maybe we'll do some go some through some scriptures that show the different things that it took man a long time to figure out, but the Bible actually told you about it. You know, that science that marries up with creation or with God's creation. But anyway, when for instance, you know, when we were studying differential equations, I call it difficult equations. You know, whenever we got into Laplace transfers and things like that, I don't expect you to understand what that is unless you've studied it. I wouldn't have known if I hadn't studied it. But you get into some of those things that help you to turn something into this, into that, and mathematically. And so one of the things that we looked at was how does this apply to the creation? So we got into spring constants and all that stuff. We could predict the behavior based on the metallic properties of the spring. It was there. Now, you know, if there was no creator, there was no God, you wouldn't have these things that are harmonious that work and are predictable. Then we got into 3D calculus, and that was the one that was more fascinating to me because we began to do equations, or when we got into 3D calculus, we began to do equations on like flower petals. And so when you'd run those equations and run the graphs out, you'd have like the petal of a rose or a petal of a certain type of flower. That shows that there is a creator. Yes, sir.
One of the verses that I like comes from Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter. It says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose of the live, a time to be born, a time to die. Just think about the fellas. You always see them flying south and fall. They come back, nest at the same place. Do it year after year. Just think about all the animals that know where to go, when to go, when the season is. Just think about the daffodils in the spring. Come up.
They know when to pop out.
Exactly.
Well, just, you know, with the migration, it's even more, there's more to it than that. I mean, think about the butterflies. There's types of butterflies that migrate. Hummingbirds.
Yeah. On the nature show that I was standing there, and I mean, who could deny that, you know, there's a God after watching the butterflies?
Especially
how
as
they all come in and go out. And,
yeah, especially as how fragile they are.
I know.
You know, if you meet one going down the road, you don't even have to be going that fast. Your car is going to win. He's going to lose his life if he hits your grill or your windshield. They're so fragile, but yet they make these amazing journeys. You know, same thing with hummingbirds. You can just all kinds of different birds and insects, lots of insects, and things migrate and go back and forth. Know their time.
Ramona has four ferns, hangs four ferns on our front porch every year. Birds come every year and nest it. And Ramona took them down. to, when she went on a trip to Europe, so that she could set a boy that went right into the water, but she knew her husband probably wouldn't. We have a little wreath on our front door. And those birds would come and sit on that wreath and look in the front door, looking for her.
Yep. Yep. When you gonna hang them up?
Because they had already started the nesting.
Yep. Yeah, we had birds that nest the same place year after year after year. And yep. Everything has a time and its place, and you know, all these things we're talking about and describing, these are all, it points to somebody set this in motion. It didn't just happen. A couple days ago, I had somebody come by my desk. The card I gave you a couple weeks ago, I have one of those sitting on my desk, and I have, or actually two, I've got one's front side, one's back side. Then I've got the gospel, front side, back side of card there. So my desk sometimes is the water cooler. And sometimes, I don't know why, but a lot of people stop by and say hi during the day. And which is okay. And so one of the managers come by, and he's joking around and all that as usual, and he picks up the card and looks at it, begins to read it, while I'm sitting there mouthing the story off. And so I didn't say anything, and I finally said, I said, hey, you can just take it with you. Take that card with you and read it. He goes, oh, no, no, that's all right. And he kept looking at it, then he put it back down, then he asked the question. Who is WVBS that was on there, .org. And I said, that's World Video Bible School. And I said, they have got some really good kids stuff on there. And they do. Kids lessons. And they're short. And then they've got the nature series, which is all, I like watching those because there's so many things that show, you know, apologetics type that when you watch that stuff, it's like, there's no way there's not a God. But anyway, they've got them where they do the sketches and they tell the story while they're doing the sketches that are really good on there. And then the bugs, what I was telling you about with the, you know, I always talk about the bombarder beetle, you know, and then one of them start as wide as the, wide as a giraffe's eyes not pop out of his head when he bends over to get a drink of water and stuff like that. And I never thought of that. Because there's gallons and gallons of blood in their neck. And I was like, well, that is a good question. And then it goes on and explains the vascular system and all that of the check valves and all that. You can say it's in their neck. It prevents that from happening, keeps the pressure right. And they always approach it from the point of, how did evolution do this? Could evolution have done this? And it becomes very obvious really quick by nature, the answer is no. There's no way. Because that meant that, I forget what the gallon amount is. It's like 8-9 gallons of blood that's in a giraffe's neck. And it said, if you think about it, you know, it made it to the point of where you have one surviving and he bends over one time without that developed system in his neck and it pops his head off. Or blows his brain out of his eyeballs from the pressure of all the fluid. And they just bring up stuff like that. It just makes sense. You know, love the one about why does a chameleon's hand stick to the wall? It's not sticky, by the way. And they go in and on the molecular, cellular level and show you. All of these things are evidence that there is a creator. There is a creator. That's what it's screaming. It's not really suction cups. It's more like a bunch of little dots, and they kind of interlock or kind of. It's hard for me to explain. It hadn't been a while since I watched it, but basically, when they touch something, it doesn't really suck to it, but it has all these little pieces that hold on to it. Kind of the principle of like you had a group of claws and you stuck it in something. It's except it's much smaller and much more complicated. The alien tape you see advertised on TV, y'all seen that lately? If you watch channel, I don't know if you got Dish, Direct, it's like channel 66, the cowboy channel. And they advertise that all the time on that channel. Anyway, the alien tape where they, you know, it's wet and you stick it and you, they show them putting bricks on the wall and putting up all that stuff. That is based, that technology is based on that chameleon, the footprints of the chameleon. That's why you can peel it off the wall and reuse it. Because it's not the same. It's close, but it's close enough to work, but they're still working on it because they can't figure it all out. And that's pretty neat to think about. They took God's design, tried to duplicate it, can't duplicate it perfectly. Get close, but you can't do it. He had something to look like he was going to say.
You left after you're supposed to wash it and you make it out.
Well, that, yeah. But a chameleon, he'd just walk up another wall, wouldn't he? He wouldn't have to wash his feet off.
I was letting you know how prevalent that commercial is.
Well, these up here is looking like that they'd never seen it. I was like, oh, that's a... Well, anyway, to me, all these things that we're talking about, hopefully supporting the idea here in the passage that there is no excuse to not understand that there is not at least a creator. God says, I've told you, I've left it everywhere through creation. Therefore, you have to know. Question number four. What was the clearly seen from his creation?
Would that be the invisible things of God? That he said?
Yes, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now, in the ESV, it reads, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse.
You think about this. The earth rotates around the sun, and depending upon the season, it changes.
Yep.
Axis, spring, summer.
Yep, that's what gives us the seasons. Yep.
And that's invisible, but it's clearly seen that it controls our lives, our atmosphere.
Yeah, the moon, the trajectory of the moon has a lot to do with tides and things like that. Yeah.
But they're invisible. We don't even think about it. We don't see it, but we see the effect.
That's right. Yeah. St. Paul talks about in another place of how that God, you know, made things out of things unseen. That's what it is. Because the universe is composed of those things. When I studied, was in physics and we got to electrophysics, we had a guy that was, I can't remember his name now, one of the smartest people I think I've ever met. I think there was literally nothing you could ask him that he didn't know something about. It's rare, you know, it's rare you meet people like that. And usually sometimes when you meet people like that, they're like know-it-alls, and you don't want to talk to them anyways because of their attitude. He was not that guy. He was very humble. He was an elder in the church, and he had worked in the military as an electrical engineer his whole career, and he'd come back to retire and decided he'd donate his time to teaching. So he taught the electrical part of our electrophysics part of our class. And so when he comes in and starts talking about, the first thing he talks about is what Paul said about things are made out of things that aren't seen. You can't see that God did this. And so he begins to expand and explore, or has us to explore, of how the universe fits together based on a positive and a negative, and how that the whole universe is composed of just that simple thing and how it works. And anyway, somebody tested him one day to see if he really did know how much he did know. So they asked him a question. One of the, you know, smart aleck students taking Greek asked him a Greek question, and he explained it to them better than they understood. And it was always like that. Somebody asked him, why does a dryer sheet work? You know, just making up stuff. And he'd have an answer. And he was very intelligent. I'd like to know if he's even still living, because that was 21 or 2, 3 years ago when I had him in that class. But either way, once again, the value of a Christian education, whenever they're pointing to God, to show you through creation how God is. Notice that in this question, or in this verse, where things clearly seen from creation, the creation points out His power. It points out His divine nature. That's what the word there, Godhead, in the King James means. It's not talking about the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the divine nature of God. And we can see that through nature. We see that all around. Through, you know, just like today, what we've been witnessing this week with the storms. There's demonstrating the power of God. When we see a tornado, when we see, you know, well, let's go the opposite way. Whenever we see good things that happen, like the rain that causes things to grow, and we see trees, we see the restraint of, if you ever think about the restraint of dogs, most of your dogs that's got any size to them could tear your arm off. They won't tell you, but they restrain that power because they, you know, they've got an attachment to you. A lot of dogs that way. They could just tear you up if they just decided to, but they don't. And so that natural restraint, to me, is still demonstration of the power of God. Because what did God say in the book of Genesis about animals and people? That people would have dominion over them. There's proof of that by the restraint of just the simple example of the dog that has such a powerful muzzle on them, mouth on them. What can one come to know about God from the things which He has created?
He's all wise, He's all powerful, and it's obvious the invisible things He's created.
Mm-hmm. And we'll do question 5. Then we'll stop tonight. It says, what were the Gentiles without excuse? Or why, rather?
They had seen everything created.
Yep.
I mean, if you can look at the creation, that's it.
That's it. Basically, a summation of all that we've discussed tonight. It can be clearly seen. The only thing is, you got to open your eyes.
Goodness of God, try to emulate.
Yep. If we just understood the blessing, which I'm not sure that we can, but we could witness the results of blessing and see the blessing that God bestows upon us, and that ought to be more evidence, further evidence.
You know, now I get to do all that. So, but I think that's what happens. Everybody just kind of gets involved in their own.
Their own things. But there again, as it was mentioned there about the Gentiles, you know, why were they without excuse? Because God is clearly seen. So we must remember that through the hustle and bustle of life, we still have to stop and take time. And that is hard to do. It's hard to do. And sometimes maybe it's because maybe we should leave something off to make it better for ourselves, to be holy. We sing that song, take time to be holy. You know, take time to be holy, spend, as much time, another verse, spend time in secret. In other words, spend time in prayer, spend time in study. You know, the gist of the song is take time to do these things, to be holy before God. Anything else as we close?
God did his work so much that explained about Jews, that they would serve him, they would fall away when he got so led and on the path. And there's nothing new under the sun, so hopefully, we will start coming back to God because things have gotten so bad.
We may have had the discussion before. I can't remember, me and you, but, you know, I've actually had the thought maybe things haven't got bad enough yet. Yeah, we haven't hit the bottom to get the repentance stage. But I am very encouraged by the amount of people that I've seen just this year that have changed their message. I'm not talking about always religious people either. You know, like when I say religious, they are religious, but not like preachers and people like that. Some prominent figures that have said America's got to repent. That's a message that has to be thrown out there. America has to repent. Now, we get into the next part of the lesson. Next week, it'll be a lot more negative than what we've had tonight. It's going to be a lot more negative because he's giving a reality check on what the world's like and how it needs to repent. Chapter 2, you need to repent. He gets on the Jews in chapter 2. You have done wrong. You need to change. And so that's the message that America needs to hear. You need to repent and come back to God. Appreciate your attention and comments tonight.